Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
News Radio 930 WBEN. It's Tom Bowerly and David Bellavia. It's Bowerly and Bellavia on News Radio 930 WBEN.
Bowerly and Bellavia. David is back in the saddle again today after a day off yesterday where I actually had to work for a living, which was tough. We're talking about socialism and why socialism seems to be gaining popularity. Now, I know how you guys feel about polls, and frankly, you guys have convinced me to be very, very skeptical about polls these days, and I thank you for that because I've never viewed polls in quite the same way as I did prior to the election of 2016. But I don't think there's any denying that there is a trend of a lot of stories. I know it's the media, but the trend of a lot of stories pointing in the direction that Americans seem to want. Americans seem to want socialism. And 43%, David, and I'm not quoting the correct poll there, like 43% of Americans now say that some kind of socialism would be, quote, good for the country. We want to find out where you are in this, and we'd especially love to hear from people who grew up in communist or socialist countries to set things straight. And whenever I think of such people, Natasha in Ontario is one of those people that is always immediately coming to mind. And Natasha, you were talking about basically people being in lockstep fascism.
That's exactly it. Yes, I was going to say that was the next thing. You know, people are trained to think in lockstep. So, you know, Ayn Rand, in one of her works, she was describing the new human variety of people that eventually developed after the revolution, Homo Sovieticus, something like that. Homo Sovieticus, you know, from the Soviet.
Okay.
Because people used to be, you know, people used to have original ideas and be able to express them and you know, had creative drives. But it's all wiped out by this lockstep thinking and mentality, and that you got to fit in with everybody else and you're no better than anybody else. You see, you know, I listen with despair when I hear the 43% of morons want socialism here, and you know, and you can blame the education system. An education system has been overtaken by the liberals a long time ago. So people are just not explained what things are. They're just told that this is good. You have to want this because this is good. This is just. This is fair, and everybody is equal. And this you know, equality concept is totally degenerate because people ought to have equal opportunities, like you said, education,
Equal opportunities, of course, Natasha, does not mean equality of guaranteed results because there are no guaranteed results for any of us.
Not the equality of outcomes because some people are brighter, some people are more hardworking, some people more talented in a certain area, and that shows and they succeed. Therefore, you know, they do better in life, maybe financially, and able to have different and more interesting jobs than someone else, you know? But that doesn't mean that everyone's, you know, it's like if we look at medical practitioners, for instance, you know, everyone's going through the med school. Is everyone equally as good a doctor as the other guy or girl?
Nope.
Of course not. You know, some are competent, some are lazy, some are just never caught on to things, and some are negligent, some are reckless, all kinds of stuff that goes into it, right? And we're looking for the best doctor that's going to cut us up and do stuff to us. You know, we're not looking, I don't care if he's black or yellow or any other color. I mean, I'm looking for a competent and, you know, knowledgeable practitioner. in any area, whether it's a car repair or heart surgery or anything else, and people are not equal.
But is it really as simple as saying that the leftists have a long time ago infiltrated the education system and are learning about socialism, or is it that people who are inclined to be more leftist are simply drawn to education and like professions? And we hear the same thing about some of the churches and some of the seminaries that used to be ultra-conservative have now gone ultra-liberal, and I'm trying to figure out why. In other words, is it some planned indoctrination, or is it just people who are naturally attracted to those lines of work, whether it's social work, whether it's the ministry, whether it is education? Inside, they just tend to be more receptive to socialism.
I see it as a planned and, a salami principle type of approach, indoctrination. And when it comes to churches, God knows or hell knows why they've sold out the way they had. And it may be due to political pressure. It may be to retain, the congregation, who is getting progressively more left and would be leaving the church. So I think that's what it is, it's a domination of the left in the media and in the culture, takeover. The changes are so, if you look back, I like to watch older movies, and when I say older, like from the 80s, or some from the 70s, and you watch them and you see how life was different, how people behaved and differently, and the cultural attitudes that were different than what it is now. So, and in terms of, as I said, socialism, the different aspects of it, economically speaking, and again, people should see what's going on in Venezuela. More people should really pay attention to what's going on and why that is, and it's not because of lack of socialism there. It's because of too much socialism there, that they're eating pets and don't have electricity and don't have, you name it, and they don't have it. And they're spilling into Colombia and into Peru, anywhere people who have any kind of mobility and means are trying to get the hell away from there.
Right.
How come all these refugees that are barraging U.S. borders, they're not going into Venezuela, they're not going to Cuba.
Right.
Well, they're not going to,
Well, and now they're trying to come here.
And but they're going into big, bad, United States, where so far capitalism has managed to survive somehow.
Right. Evil United States, the worst country in the world, filled with a bunch of people with white privilege.
Down the walls to get in here. And because if they went to Cuba, Cubans are rationing rice for themselves, let alone, hordes of, newcomers who have not contributed, have not done anything. So they wouldn't see a grain of rice over there. And they know it. So therefore, right, they're not even trying to swim across and to Cuba or walk across to Colombia. To Venezuela.
Yeah, I love hearing from your point of view, because it's so unique in that, we can talk about this from what we've learned in a school book. You're someone that has experienced it. You have family that have gone through it. And, once you introduce, we were told that once the Soviet Union fell, it would take, 40 years for them to recover. You don't see that in socialist countries. As soon as that regime is out, all you do is give opportunity to people who want the opportunity, and they turn that thing around in 16 months.
They have done in a way. I don't really know enough about Russian economy and the.
I'm not getting to the economic side of it. What I'm saying, though, is that it's important that when people are taken, when rights are taken away from people, and then you give them freedom, it's not like they sit around looking at each other because they don't know what to do. They
right.
will embrace that freedom.
You know what? For a while, they were doing that. They were sitting at it and looking at each other. And you know why that is? It's because socialism creates this slavish dependency on the government, on the big state, and on the big government. That I cannot do anything myself. I don't know how. I have to ask the state. The almighty state takes care of everything, or it doesn't take care of anything. Either way, there's nothing you can do about it. There's nothing you can do. There's no one to. you know, there's no one to protest. There's no one to, you know, you can go from office to office to office with your, you know, complaints, and you will not get anywhere because there's no response. It's like, you know, a humongous, you know, concrete wall, and you're just beating your head against that wall. You're not going to even make a dent. You will hurt your head, but you're not going to, you know, even make a small chip in that wall. That's what socialism is. You know, it's like this collective big, enormous behemoth, and there's little you standing against all of that. You know, so if you don't have bread today, well, that's just too bad. You know, you'll have to do without. If you don't have, you know, if you cannot find an apartment, well, it's your problem. You know, and talking about housing shortages, my goodness.
Well, you know, Natasha, somebody, we know you got to get going and everything, but somebody called in earlier to say that the Russians, for whatever reason, he was in Siberia, were unable to figure out a way to package bread without mold growing on the inside of the package. You want to back that up?
I frankly would not have any experience or knowledge of that. Bread,
got it.
In my day in Ukraine, because I'm from Ukraine, bread was fantastic. That's one good thing that was delicious and generally available. Now, if you wanted meat, you know, there are two jokes. Okay, I'll tell you. You know, the one you said that before yourself in some other show. They pretend they pay us, and we pretend we work.
Yeah.
So this is one principle of socialism. People out there, okay, who want this kind of insanity.
They pretend to pay us, we pretend to work. That is true. What was the other one?
The other one was when, you know, people are looking for, you know, for food, you know, for you know, so they go to the meat store, and the thing is, you know, you go to the butcher's, you know, or section of the grocery store, and you go in, you're not going in saying, you know, I need a pound of beef. you go saying, you don't have beef, do you? So you start with a negative because that's usually how it was, you know. And so the joke was that someone went to a butcher store and said, "You don't happen to have meat, do you?" And they said, "No, we're a fish store. We don't have fish. They don't have meat next door."
Wow. Natasha, I think I speak for everybody listening to your voice right now and saying we need to hear more Natasha Moore, okay?
I'm here. I was not at home, actually. You have quite a following in St. Catharines. I hear a couple of people calling you, and I have a friend who is listening to you faithfully. So I was on my way home. I was in a taxi, actually, and he called me, and he said, "Tom was asking about you." Tom, I didn't know.
Oh, Natasha, you're beautiful. Thank you so much for the call.
Yeah, actually, yes.
Natasha, thank you so much.
Okay.
Let's get right back to the calls. It is Willie, oddly enough, in Williamsville. Willie, you're on WBEN. Thanks for holding.
Well, thank you. I can sum this up in eight words. East Berlin, West Berlin, East Germany, West Germany. Don't say any more. You remember the satellite photos of the difference between the two? Talk to anybody who lived in East Germany, and then the wall came down. Oh, that's another thing. The wall. People were always going this way, not that way.
Yeah, they actually, for those who don't know, and there's a lot of people who don't know, the Berlin Wall was to keep people inside of East Berlin.
Yes, exactly right. And not too many people went the other way, went from west to east. Not too many. Talk to anybody from there. I know someone who migrated here after the fall, and they can tell you how it was in East Germany compared to West Germany. And that's all you need to know, right?
I got to tell you, it's the craziest thing because I was stationed out in Germany about 2002 to 2005. And when I was out there, all of the parts of, after the reunification, all of the East German parts got rebuilt. So
sure,
there are all these modern places everywhere. And I would have soldiers that would go on leave and they would say, "Hey, why is everyone complaining about the Russian side, the Soviet side? This is really nice stuff." I'm like, dude, that's only in the last 10 years.
Right.
They had to literally put sewage and water and you name it. The roads were garbage. Everything is literally 12 years old there at the time when we were there.
Yeah. Okay, fellas, thank you.
All right, thank you, Willie. Appreciate the call. And It is Bowerly and Bellavia, News Radio 930 WBEN. Welcome to the show. And if you are just joining us, we're talking about socialism and whether or not America needs socialism to make a better country. It depends on what poll is the poll at which you happen to be looking. But there is a poll that I can't seem to scroll to at this particular point when I need to find the poll. But the popularity of socialism allegedly is spiking in the United States. 43% now say it would be good for the country. According to Newsweek, more than 4 in 10 Americans believe that socialism would be good for the country, while more than half disagree, according to the Gallup poll of over 1,000 adults, which found that 43% of Americans believe that some sort of socialism would be good for the country, compared with 51% who say it would be bad. And what are you saying about socialism? 803-0930, star 930, and 1-800-616-WBEN. Let's go to Jim in Toronto. Jim, you're on WBEN. Welcome.
Okay. There's two reasons we have leftist propaganda or leftist leaning people in the United States. One, I don't know if you guys remember or not, there was a group or a society in the United States called the John Birch Society. The news media killed them because even then, the John Birch Society was in existence in the late 60s and 70s. Right. And they were not political. They were information. And what they were promoting and telling people, they were telling people that beware, beware. Leftist socialism people are trying to infiltrate and take over the schools, because that's how you get to the society, through the schools. And they ceased to exist because the news media killed them.
Well, I've been doing this so long, I actually had people on from the John Birch Society at some at various points.
You know, the problem was is that
fantastic, and they were dead on. Now, the other reason,
but hold on. For to be fair, though, another person that was saying that exact same thing was J. Edgar Hoover.
Yeah, the other reason we have socialism is because politicians, to get elected, give every damn thing away. You want to get elected? Okay, we'll give this group free this. And everybody thinks they're entitled to free things.
Jim, I'm going to say something right to you.
There's a mayor here in Toronto now. Excuse me.
Yeah.
There's a the prime minister, I'll get it right in a minute, the premier of Ontario, Ford. Doug Ford is cutting
that's
back.
The brother of
oh, my God, there's such.
That's the brother of Mayor Ford, right?
Wailing.
Or, right, the mayor of Toronto's brother?
The late mayor, who was a great, he was a great man. I knew him, had dinner with him. He had a big heart and a big soul, but his body was weak. He got in some stuff he shouldn't get in.
Yeah, yeah.
His heart and soul were pure.
Okay, so real quick, let's try to wrap this up. Why do you think so many Americans are into socialism these days?
Because the government keeps giving, and every time they give, then the people say, "Oh, I'm entitled to that. I want more." And the more you give, the more government control. And that's how the Communist Party works.
Right, because once you give someone something, you can't take it away. But there's a mindset in the States that believe if you pass earmarks, if you eliminate earmarks, pass legislation to ban them, you're never going to have a movement to the left, because you're stopping people from, you know, sucking away $90 million of the Defense Authorization Act to go to a shrimp farm in Louisiana. And those are the things that cause special interest groups and other groups to throw money towards causes. And that's what creates this bottom feeding approach that we have right now, which is, look, if I want to make black people happy, this is what I'm going to do for my constituents. If I want to make white suburbanites happy, this is what I'm going to do for those constituents. And we start dividing people, and we don't get to actually serving the people.
All right, thank you very much for the call. Thank you very much for the call from Toronto, 803-0930, star 930, and 1-800-616-WBEN. David, you know, I made this horrible mistake. I was packing heat. I accidentally walked into a school, but it's okay now because it was just a mistake. What the? Okay, WTF. I can say that on the air.
I got to tell you, that this is one of the dumbest things I've seen in a long, long time. Mayor Brown, you know, look, we know that they're friends. He's got his friends in the party and folks, and he's got to do his thing. When this happened, I was just guffawing at how stupid Councilman Wingo could possibly be.
Right.
Look, a lot of people make mistakes. You get behind the wheel of a car, you've had too many drinks, and you plow into a school bus and you kill five people. That's a mistake, right? You screw up your taxes. You make a mistake. Whether people were killed or injured or not, I thought there was zero tolerance policy when it came to the left and guns in schools.
Well, unless you're connected.
Everyone talks about arming teachers. Oh, that zero tolerance policy there. What about superintendents and principals bringing in firearms? Zero tolerance whatsoever. We won't have it. This guy, and by the way, it's Wingo's own actions that have led to another guy who did nothing wrong. He's getting suspended from Riverside. What did he do? What, he held the gun? Should he have allowed Wingo to have the gun?
Right.
It was an Annie Oakley competition in the shooting saucers off kids' heads. What the hell are you doing? I mean, what would it have taken for you to realize, oh, my God, I have a gun on.
And I'm in school.
Excuse me, I've got to go outside and take an important call with the mayor. And put the gun in the, you know what I'm saying? There was a million and five things you could have done. But maybe someone has privilege. Because when it's a Democrat in the city of Buffalo, you have a certain privilege that you can do whatever the hell you want. Carl Palladino brings a gun into a school or a school board meeting. It's a horse of a different color.
Oh, you better believe
it. That ain't happening.
Here's the story from WBEN.com. You can check it out yourself. Buffalo Mayor Byron Brown said that City Councilman Ulysses Wingo made a, quote, mistake last Tuesday when he brought a gun into Riverside High School. It was a busy day for the council member, Brown told reporters at City Hall. He forgot that he had the weapon that he is licensed to carry on his person. He went to an event at a school, and when he recognized he had the weapon, he went to the school office to report that and see how they wanted that to be handled, and he was told he could store the weapon in a safe for safekeeping, attend the program, and come back and get the weapon and leave, which is what happened. After senior officials learned about the gun, it was reported to authorities a couple of days later. The principal at Riverside High was placed on administrative leave while an investigation continues. No charges have been filed against the councilman. So this administrator ends up basically getting the short end of the stick, cleaning up the steaming mound of feces that was caused by the council member bringing the gun into where the gun shouldn't have been. And David, come on, if you or I or Carl Palladino carried a firearm into any school anywhere, what do you think would happen to us? How long would we have our pistol permits after that?
Well, first of all, this would never, ever happen because a responsible gun owner is always checking where he is, what he's got, what he's doing. Why are you even carrying a gun? If you forget that you have a gun on you. Councilman Wingo, you're the last person that should be responsible enough to carry a gun. How do you forget you've got a loaded, you know, red direct firearm on you? Listen, that's not what a concealed carry permit is not supposed to be, the type of thing where as you're going up to spike a volleyball at the church picnic, you realize, oh my God, that .357. Is the hammer back? What are you doing, dude?
Certainly hope not.
You are an absolute picture of who shouldn't be a gun owner. That's ridiculous. Now,
there are some things you just don't forget you have on you, and like one of them is a firearm.
And when you are hearing about people getting busted at the airport, it's not because the gun is on them, Professor Calculus. It's because the gun is in a bag they don't know about. That's stupid and mindless. That's irresponsible too, right? But you can't forget that you have a holstered firearm on you when you're in a school. I'm sorry, but it would be like we're playing a game of tag in the yard, and yeah, some third grader tagged me it, and well, she juiced off two rounds into the. What are you doing, dude? I'm sorry. Maybe you liberals just shouldn't have guns. You guys obviously prove that you're irresponsible with it.
Well, I mean, we live in a society. I was talking to an attorney a few years ago about this, where somebody was actually prosecuted, David, because they were in danger of losing their pistol permit. You know what great offense they committed, and it wasn't even involving a firearm. firearm. It was they blew off a firecracker on Independence Day. And because they blew off a firecracker on Independence Day, they were at risk of actually losing their pistol permit. This guy brings a loaded weapon into a school, and he gets the administrator in trouble, because which I don't think is cool.
First of all, it's a concealed carry permit. He gets the administrator in trouble because he's like, hey, do me a solid and hang on to this loaded gun in a school. I mean, dude, you put that guy in a horrible situation. What's he supposed to do? Say, hey, councilman, why don't you go to hell? Why don't you take your firearm and go into my school, go into my art class, and start flipping around a Glock and impress the kids with it?
The administrator should have called the cops immediately. To save his own butt.
Well, it turns I don't even think he went to the cops. I think someone in that office saw what was going on. Word got out. And then he was forced to an integrity challenge.
But, yeah, it was reported to authorities.
Listen, we've tried to be right down the middle as we can with the mayor of the city of Buffalo. When he does good, we say you've done good. When he's done bad, we question what the hell is he thinking. Mayor Byron Brown, that is the dumbest thing you've ever said in public. Yeah, people make mistakes. Okay, I want you to think of a parent who brings in a loaded gun, and I want the mayor of the city of Buffalo to hold a press conference and say, yeah, the father who was arguing with his daughter about her English grade, he had a loaded, you know, Glock. But hey, people make mistakes. There's no reason to jump or extrapolate whatsoever. We don't want any, if it's a zero tolerance, it's zero tolerance. Show some leadership, and this guy's got to go.
Well, I'm rather fond of the mayor, as you know, but I happen to concur with your analysis. This may be one of the most, I won't say stupid, I'm going to say it's one of the most unfortunate things I think this mayor has said during his tenure in office, that this was a mistake. Well, this goes way beyond a mistake.
Look, you're not even supposed to bring that back to your car and lock it up under the law,
not
dude.
Supposed to leave a
you're
loaded,
not supposed
no
to,
way.
You're not, it's not like you could be like, excuse me, I've got to, you know, put this in a time capsule and bury it in the my second base. I mean, you aren't supposed to lose positive control over a loaded firearm that's in your name. And the idea that you're registered and you're concealed carry, last time I checked, New York Safe was pretty black and white about the school and grounds near a school and gun-free zones. Oh. Let me tell you something. If someone would have taken a Juul and exhaled nicotine into the air, they would have been of citizen's arrest and carted off.
Ask
into
Phil.
No, but seriously, anyone who like puffs an e-cigarette on a campus, the Democrats would go crazy. Dude has a loaded gun. There is no political tomorrow. If I'm supposed to take any Democrat on the left seriously about guns, Mr. Wingo is done. His career is over. He has committed the unforgivable sin.
Especially, yes, with a loaded firearm. Which,
the
by the
children,
way,
Tom. It's the children.
Well, it's all about the children. But this, by the way, is one of the reasons why, even though I have an unrestricted carry permit, I very rarely carry a firearm because, as I've explained to my friends, frankly, carrying a firearm is a giant pain in the ass.
Here to,
I mean, it's
here
so
to tell you about the radio industry is Tom Bowerly, kids.
Hi, kids. Oops, did I squeeze one off? You ever have that thing that is on your mind, and it's on your mind constantly until the time when you actually are in a position to do something about it? Case in point, I have been meaning to buy motor oil for my lawnmower now for the past 2 weeks. Every single time I'm near the hardware store, I forget that I need motor oil. And then the minute I am as far as you possibly can be from the hardware store, I forget that I remember that I need the motor oil. I hate how my brain works sometimes. I mean, I've got to make a list sometimes just to get anything done. I mean, a legitimate list so I don't forget things. That's not a good sign, is it?
I'm living in the world that they created. The Democrats have made this world up. There are certain things that we allowed to do. Could you imagine if you're like, look, he made a mistake. She was 12. No one knew it was a mistake. She looked 18. That's, without a doubt, unacceptable. No excuse for it whatsoever. When it comes to schools and guns, you don't want our teachers to have it. And hopefully these teachers get a block of instruction where they know that they have a loaded firearm on them. Where was this thing? Was it in a pocket? Was it in a bag? And who the hell does Wingo, this guy actually thinks he's so cool and he's so smart that he can be like, hey, do me a favor, hold this 32 bulldozer for me. I gotta go talk to the kids about some stuff.
I gotta go talk to the kids about gun safety.
Yeah, right. So you know they're gonna nobody knows who the hell this guy is. He got in, 2 years ago, people were talking about him here and there. You're a councilman. You're in the city of Buffalo. And you think that you've got the reputation and the swagger and that you can have someone do you a solid and hold on to your loaded firearm at a high school, a public school, not a chance in hell. You got dimed out because it's a stupid thing to do. And your governor, your mayor, your county executive are running around the entire state every day screaming about how no one should be able to have teachers with guns, administrators with guns. Zero tolerance, gun-free zone. Nobody, if you want to talk to the soccer coach and you've got a gun on you, a SAFE Act is going to come down on you like an anvil.
Yep.
And yet this guy is going to be like, oh, things happen. You know, like a fart in a car, you thought it was going to pass. No, it's a gun. It's a loaded gun. And the thing I want to hear from a guy with a loaded gun is, didn't know it was on me. That's exactly what I want to hear.
Phil Kennedy, by the way, doing a great job behind the glass. And Sean Murphy, we're losing Sean Murphy after today's show because Sean Murphy is leaving us. He's going down to Florida where he's going to work for a marketing company in Tampa, Florida, and smoke plenty of cigars and eat plenty of Cuban sandwiches, no doubt. So Sean Murphy, a job well done for us here on Bowerly and Bellavia.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.